That was Giant Steps by John Coltrane. My name is Zachary Bennett. I'm here with Tim Fakeless to bring you the inaugural Wolves Wired podcast, part of the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network Podcast Center. You can listen to Wolves Wired and any of the other HP Network basketball podcasts at hardwoodparoxysm.com. That's Hardwood, H-A-R-D-W-O-O-D, Paroxysm, P-A-R-O-X-Y-S-M. I'm your co-host and producer, Zachary Bennett, here with Tim Fakeless, here to talk a little Wolves basketball, not just today, but for the foreseeable future, once a week, maybe twice a week, maybe three times a week once the season starts. Tim covers the Wolves for A Wolf Among Wolves. He also writes general NBA stories at sportingnews.com.
That was a good plug. I'm very glad that you're there.
I'm giving you your proper introduction.
Very nice of you.
You can find me on Twitter at ZacharyBD, but that's not important. Follow the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network on Twitter and Facebook. It's HPB Network. Like I said, the podcast center at hardwoodparoxysm.com features all sorts of sensual voices talking basketball, such as the Biscastball podcast. Corbin Smith hosts that one. There's also the Friendly Bounce podcast, Make or Miss podcast, all sorts of good audio from good people at the Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network. Moving forward, there aren't many pertinent storylines going on in Wolvesville, huh, Tim?
Not in early September. You're not going to find too many anywhere in the NBA.
I've been a little busy covering the Lynx, but it's a manageable load with what the Wolves going on. I think that the relevant news that we'll get into right away is, of course, Team Canada participating at FIBA Americas tournament in Mexico City. The tournament is a World Cup qualifier, so the top two finishers get an invitation to the Olympics next year, the 2016 Games in Rio de Janeiro. That is unless Brazil finishes in the top two, in which the third place winner will also receive an invitation to the World or the Olympics, because Brazil is the host country and they can't take a qualification bid away. Canada started the preliminary stages of the tournament this week with a loss to Argentina. Argentina is led by Luis Scola. I know he put up like 30-something points, a lot of them in the third quarter. It's an overall disappointing loss for Canada. It's not the way you wanted to start the tournament, especially for a team that's supposedly, allegedly, on the rise with Wiggins and Anthony Bennett, Ekstauskas, Kelly Olynyk. Brady Heslip is one of the NCAA's most heralded three-point shooters of all time. This is the start of their ascension. They did play against Venezuela, winning by 20 points. Tim watched the second half while I was doing some show prep. Any lasting thoughts on the tournament so far, or what you've seen from either of those Wolves players, Wiggins or Bennett?
Nothing lasting about today's game. It was kind of a blowout. You mentioned I only watched really the second half.
And you only kind of watched it.
I mean, you
were kind of like doing some other things and texting girls. And
I was doing a little show prep of my own.
Yeah, whatever.
But for the most part, I mean, the big takeaway I guess I got about Team Canada, if we're going to talk about Team Canada first in general, the one game they lost was to Argentina, who I believe is the only team that isn't the United States who have won an Olympic gold medal in the last few Olympics, right?
That could be correct. They had Manu Ginobili and Scola and a couple other players.
That team is experienced. Canada's best players we'll just go through their starting lineup: Corey Joseph, Andrew Wiggins, Nick Stauskas, Anthony Bennett, Kelly Olynyk, who have a combined number of years in the NBA that probably wouldn't even match up with Kevin Garnett. It's a young team versus a very experienced old team, so I can see why they might lose in a game when it actually counts to a team as experienced as Argentina. As for Wiggins and Bennett, I'm not sure I want to take the risk of taking too much away from their tournament play as individuals. They've played unless it's Wiggins dunking on J.J. Barea or Andres Nocioni, in which case I'm talking about Andrew Wiggins.
Do you think there's a double standard in that Wiggins could have the tournament of a lifetime and we would be like, hell yeah, Wiggins, second coming of Kobe. You know, you got that fro out there. You're looking good. But if Bennett does the same, which he has over international competition this summer.
Right. Then it's international play. It's not the same thing. You know, you can't count it.
So it is an interesting double standard. I think we don't put Wiggins on a pedestal because of the way he's performing in these international tournaments. We are still assessing him definitely objectively, but he had 4 assists and 5 turnovers, so you'd like to think he's working on skills like ball handling and outside shooting, and there are some appropriate things to take away, such as that, but I think egregious, you know, conclusions from one or two games or an entire tournament in Bennett's case with the Pan American games, you got to take it with a grain of salt, right?
Sure. I mean, with Bennett, I like to take, I want to try to take little things away from his game. He had 10 rebounds today. A thing Jay Triano, Canada's head coach, mentioned is that he'd like to see him improve on his rebounding. He had 10 rebounds in 23 minutes, which is, I think, pretty great in any in any setting,
sure.
Right? 10
yeah,
rebounds 10, in 23 minutes is pretty good.
10 and 10, you'll take. How many turnovers did he have? Two turnovers.
He had 2 turnovers in 23 minutes. Not bad. Probably not great, considering how much he probably had the ball. But, you know, that's nitpicking.
Yeah, Venezuela is a bunch of short guys, so he should, right. Should be able to.
Exactly. And, I mean, especially with a game like this or the one against Cuba, they really didn't do much in the second half. In fact, they only won the second half by a point, it looks like.
They really didn't have to
Venezuela.
Play.
They coasted. I mean, they probably didn't play
like
very much.
It was 40-10 at one point, right?
Against Cuba.
Against Cuba,
right.
Yeah. Canada's 2-1 so far through the preliminary rounds. They play Puerto Rico and J.J. Barea, 6 o'clock Central Time, 1,800 hours military time. You keep time that way. They met in the Varchland Cup, which was last week, and Canada defeated them in the championship round, I believe. That's what you said earlier. If I'm wrong, blame Tim.
I'm right.
During the previous games, though, they had beaten Argentina, so you wonder if maybe they were sleeping on this latest matchup with Argentina, having already defeated them once. It's imperative that Canada lands one of those top two spots. I think they can. I'm not as well-versed in international competition as I like to think I am, but from what I've seen, I think Canada can reach the top two, don't you?
I think so. Puerto Rico is a surprisingly decent team. When you think about basketball, you don't necessarily think of Puerto Rico, but I mean, if you're talking about international play and how numbers can be
deceptive.
They can be deceptive. J.J. Barea is kind of a perfect example. I mean, he led the whole entire World Cup in scoring last summer. They have other
That's a good point.
They have other pros or former pros. Ronaldo Balkman's on the team.
He's a French player, but he's good.
Yep.
Pitino's their coach, Rick Pitino.
Rick Pitino is their coach.
You think they're running the full court press with Pitino out there? They have to be, right? That's what Pitino is known for. Maybe it's a 3-2 trap. I don't know.
Who knows? Maybe. It could be a good game.
Transition now. It'll be an awkward transition where we mentioned that we're transitioning. William Bowl, Billy Bowl, wrote about it on A Wolf Among Wolves, Anthony Bennett, and his future. I touched on it late last week, or maybe the week before that. I don't know. It's a big season for Anthony Bennett. I know if we're projecting what will happen to him or speculating what will happen to him this season, I think you need to start at you get the obligatory deadline of October 31st out of the way. The Wolves have until the end of October to decide whether or not they want to extend Bennett's contract through the end of next season. I think we're going to go ahead and presume that they will not do that for reasons that should be obvious. He's underperformed. He's the number one overall pick. He's owed $9 million, just shy of $9 million next season. I think that's a little expensive. Maybe not so much when the cap goes up, but even if the cap were to go up next season, like it's projected to, or after next season, whatever, yeah, are you is it really worth paying him for what you've seen thus far? Or as Coach Jay Triano, like you mentioned, Tim, if he can rebound and run the floor and do some good things, or is even that warrant a $9 million contract? So as William Bowles' piece alluded to earlier, it's a big year for him, especially when it's going to be an even bigger training camp. He's going into camp against Kevin Garnett, but a plethora of other forwards too, Adrian Payne, Namia Bjelica, Damian Rudez, who the Wolves got in the trade with Indiana that sent Chase Buttinger to the Pacers. Training camp presents an interesting matchup battle at point guard and forward. We'll start with forward, Tim, with the logjam they have going. How do you see that playing out? The Wolves have 17 players on their roster right now. They need to slim it down to 15. And Garnett, Bjelica, Rudez, Payne, Bennett, that's five right there. And you know, we didn't even get into how the Wolves played a little small ball with Chase Buttinger at the four. Maybe you'll see that with Baz or Tayshaun Prince. So how do you think they sort that out at the forward position?
And we didn't even touch on the fact that I'm assuming at certain points they're going to try to play Carl Towns in certain matchups at the four.
Yeah, I think that's open for discussion, too. We don't know yet.
Who knows? They play Gorgui Dieng and Nikola Pekovic together at certain points. So they're going to play... If we're talking about Bennett specifically, his biggest thing, even past matchups, is going to be just finding his way into the rotation. Because if they're going to play small ball with maybe Shabazz at the four, and then maybe Wiggins, Levine, Rubio, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, but if they play a small ball four.
Right, along with more traditional lineups, because you have to assume, of course, when healthy, Kevin Garnett's going to get about 20 minutes a game.
Sure.
And so, at the four, that's an additional 28 minutes that they're going to have to find.
Bielitz is going to get his shot, you'd like to think so. Although he's not expensive, he signed a mid-level. He's 26, 27. He's coming off a year where he won EuroLeague MVP. Although if you look at who has won that award in the past, it's not a king's ransom, I guess, of talented NBA players. So you don't know how good he is going to be, but you'd like to think he gets a shot. Karl-Anthony Towns could play the four. That's a debate for another day. Adrian Payne will probably get some minutes just to see what he can do. At least right away. I think he's a serviceable player. Damian Rudez probably doesn't get favoritism in front of Bennett unless money is the concern. I know Darren Wolfson reported right after the trade happened, Glenn Taylor said a little too much, or he didn't talk to Flip about it, but he was like, you know, there's no space for Rudez on this team, more or less. I'm paraphrasing, but you can check out Darren Wolfson's Twitter feed if you are looking for specifics. But so maybe Rudez is a guy they get rid of. Maybe they buy him out. Maybe they trade him. I don't know. Say he's gone, and that trims the roster down to 16. You got to get to 15 by the opening day. Do you think another forward is at liberty of leaving, or is it more, do you look at Lorenzo Brown, who is owed guaranteed money, but not very much, and you'd like to think a guy who still hasn't made a name for himself in the NBA, he shouldn't compete with Tyus Jones for minutes, whether it be Jones' confidence you're worried about, or minutes. How do you see the... You know, you got to cut another player. How do you do it?
For me, it's pretty easily going to be Brown. I don't see them cut. I don't think you can cut a guy.
Brown's gone?
I think Brown's definitely gone. You can't cut a guy like Bennett. I know the first pick thing doesn't really mean anything.
No, but it's a money thing. But he's owed money.
Right. The number of dollars that he's making is much more important than the number that he was picked at. Payne was a rookie last year, so you're not gonna release a rookie that was picked in the first round a year ago.
Especially one of Flip's guys.
Exactly.
And Tom Izzo's guys.
An Izzo guy, a guy that Flip traded a first round pick for.
Yep.
You can't cut that.
You can, I think.
I mean, technically you can, but you're not going to.
Up until they bought out J.J. Barea last year, I don't even think we're talking about a Rudez buyout if that doesn't happen, right? Because the Wolves, you know, they're stingy. That's their reputation. You're right. I don't think they cut Bennett, but they could trade him, couldn't they?
I think I've seen reports that they've kind of had him out on the open market.
They have, yeah.
It sounds like there haven't been any takers.
Why would there be?
He needs another year. That's the thing. I think he wants another year to prove himself, and like you said, training camp's going to be huge for him. The signing of Andre Miller, if we're talking about the point guards.
There you go. That's why Lorenzo Brown isn't on the team.
Makes him expendable. I would have been fine personally with a Rubio, Jones, Brown trio. I'm also fine with Rubio, Miller, Jones. I don't see how signing Andre Miller gives Brown much of a chance at all at staying on the roster. It's kind of what it comes down to for me.
That's a fair point, and you could argue that Brown hasn't done enough to make the roster. I think he's looked promising, but I don't have an advanced argument in favor of him. I think I alluded to it a little bit ago, is he could, you know, you don't want to replace potential minutes for Tyus and play Brown during that time. I mean, that could boost a youngster's confidence, or you might not be able to see what Jones can give you if you have Brown. I like Brown. I don't know if I like the addition of Andre Miller as much as I probably should, or as many as some do. Again, last year we saw Rubio go down, and that left Mo Williams and Zach LaVine. It's almost a similar situation. You don't like to think that Rubio is going to go down, and I hate that way of thinking, but if he does, you're left with Tyus Jones and Andre Miller, which is less serviceable than Zach LaVine and Andre Miller, couldn't you say? I don't think you plan the roster for people to get injured, so that's a, you know, that's sure. a dark road to go down. But
so if Rubio goes down, you prefer Brown, Levine, and Tyus over Miller, Levine, and Tyus? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I only think Brown can or Andre Miller can offer you so many minutes.
Sure, but I think of the big problem last year, and the reason a big reason why they A drafted Jones and B signed Miller. Both of those things happening was because they don't want LaVine to play any more point guard, and they want a more stable point guard. A guy that knows how to play point guard, which made, I'm not going to say it made Brown look better than he actually is, but it made us appreciate what Brown did a lot more. Bringing in Miller is kind of under, you know, to that same effect, maybe to a greater degree because he's a 38, 39-year-old point guard that is a more traditional point guard than, say, Mo Williams, who they signed last year and then traded away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great point. I probably even like the one that you made about Brown the most is, you know, maybe he's not even that good.
It could be. I mean, there were parts... I'm talking about Summer League here, so bear with me.
We're talking about Summer League.
I'm about to talk about Summer League. Brown, there were moments when Brown outplayed Tyus Jones in the Summer League.
Oh,
so,
no question.
I mean, if we're talking a little Summer League overreaction... which is what I'm about to do, you could make the argument that Brown was proving himself prior to the Miller signing that he deserved not only a spot on the roster, but maybe a spot in the rotation as the backup point guard, at least a battle during training camp. But after the Miller signing and the fact that Jones is a first-round pick, that I think that spells the end of Brown with the Wolves for now. He's had two stints, if you count the fact that he was picked in the second round and then cut.
That's fair. And with Summer League, an environment like that, guys like Brown with NBA experience are supposed to flourish. I mean, it's just not debatable at all, I don't think. That's where rookies and inexperienced players trying to make NBA rosters are, you know, you're supposed to dominate if you have NBA experience on your resume. And I think Lorenzo Brown showed that he's a cut above some of the players that at Summer League. And maybe even Tyus Jones, you don't know, but you invested a draft pick in Tyus Jones. A first rounder, not a second rounder like Lorenzo Brown was, so you have to give him a chance. So that's if we're the Wolves roster right now at 17, you buy out Rudez, buy out Brown, or I still think they get it below 15 and potentially move Anthony Bennett, or maybe they like what they see and move him a little bit more towards the trade deadline, but we just don't know.
That's the thing.
I don't think they keep 15. I think they keep 15. But
I think they're.
I hate to throw you under the bus.
No, it's fine. I think they're going to keep 15 unless they find a taker for Bennett. This is all speculation. By the way, I'm not Darren Wolfson. I don't have sources.
Mark Stein did report for the draft a couple days before the draft that the Wolves made Anthony Bennett available. And if you don't believe Mark Stein, John Krasinski said the same thing a couple weeks ago when there was hubbub on a late Friday night. Between a potential trade with the Wolves and the Blazers, that Rick Bonnell was throwing out some tweets, if you remember. So John Krasinski, a.k.a. AP Sports Guy, as he's known around locally anyway, is definitely a reliable source in that sense. So if you want to read more about it, go to awolfamongwolves.com and read what Billy Bowl wrote Thursday. This has been the first ever Wolves Wired podcast. We'll do better next time, probably. Maybe.
We'll see.
He's Tim Fakeless. Follow him on Twitter, TimFakeLis. I'm Zachary Bennett. Yeah, who knows when the next podcast will be, but we'll try to bring you a couple episodes whenever it's relevant. I don't have a life. Tim's got some of a life. So, any lasting thoughts, Tim?
Feedback's appreciated as long as it's good feedback.
Well, if it's bad feedback, we'll read it. We'll read it on air. I think that'd be funny.
I like that.
That'd be a funny
Let's
bit.
Let's do that.
Pub is pub. So find this podcast, Hardwood Paroxysm Basketball Network. You've probably already found it, and that's why you're listening to it. So until next time, this has been Wolves Wired.
See ya.